views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
This is the key.
Brother Dave, we can't hear you. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
We're good to go?
Yes, you're on air.
Okay, good. Okay, good. Welcome, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Wren. And just want to thank you all for bearing with me during the last week. Had a, you know, move to take care of, and the family, we've made it to Dallas, and everything is good. So really missed the show during that whole time. I wasn't able to catch up on news or catch up on anything. It was just so much work to be done. We got it all done. So happy to be back here. And of course, let's start this show the way that I always do. I missed the very beginning part of it all because, you know, when you change up your format on everything, you kind of lose some of your placement. I can't find my landline and everything else. I usually call on my landline. So sorry about that all. I missed the very beginning of the show, didn't hear the cue or anything else. So, but we're here now, and Tando Radio Show is live today, December the 21st, 2015. And as always, before we start the show, continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Tell your friends, tell your family members about the network, because this is, in this time and in these moments, in this day and age, we need to get real, unbiased media reports about different things so that we can collectively make the decisions that are serve the best interests of the people, the community, and ourselves individually. We want to become as independent, sovereign, and self-determining as possible. I mean, one of the first things we have to do in order to that is to walk away from the mainstream media. And so everyone, please continue to support Black Talk Radio Network through financial donations or just, you know, assisting the network and helping it grow. Definitely tell friends and family about it, and so that it can go. And if you know any people that are interested in sponsoring, have them contact Scotty, because this is what's really, really needed. Especially in today's world, we do not want to lose some of the outlets that we have, you know, because as things continue to unfold economically, geopolitically, throughout the spiritually, culturally, throughout the world, in our, and especially within our community, we're going to have some real information with people that have don't have an agenda that is here to circumvent our overall free and independent spirit, but people that will actually foster that and cultivate that to grow. So continue to support Black Talk Radio Network. Also, go to Tando Radio Show on FedBook, which is known as Facebook. Hi, haters, to FedBook. That is going out to the people that created FedBook so that they can monitor everything about people and everything else. But hey, so what? We still do, and we post a lot of things there. Go to Tando Radio Show, T-H-A-N-D-O Radio Show on Facebook, and check out some of the articles that we posted. So, you know, I believe that those are very, you know, very good articles about different things that was going on. Give you a heads up. You know, at Tando, we're here mainly about preparing and let you know what's going on in the world, because there aren't that many people that are doing that for our community. They may have the news and things of that nature, but there is no overall information that's geared to getting you prepared for some of the things that are unfolding. So inside of Tando, this is where we post that. And if you have anything for posting to Tando Radio Show that you would like to see there, definitely just send me a personal message can put it on Tando. We'll definitely check it out. And then if there's some topics you would like to hear and talk about, we'd love to. But the preparedness is really, really key now with a lot of the things that are going on globally throughout the world. And we need to stay abreast of that.
Brother,
so let's
Dave,
go to Tando. Yeah, go ahead, Scotty.
I don't mean to interrupt you. But I think why you might have missed the cue, there seems to be something funny going on. I'm using Skype right now, voice over IP,
okay.
And that can, lines can get crossed. It's not working like it's supposed to. So I'm going to hang up on this line, and I'm going to use a different means to call
okay.
in so that we don't have those problems. Listeners,
okay.
y'all bear with us as we I call in from a different line and get that fixed. Hold on.
Okay, no problem. We'll wait.
Service is provided in high definition by free conference call HD.com. This conference is being recorded. Q&A session started.
All right, I'm back. Brother Dave, were you able to hear that music okay?
I heard the music, yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Sorry to interrupt, man, but I could see that there were some problems.
Yeah, no, it's good. Now we're ready to go. So, like we were saying, go to Tando Radio Show and check out some of the articles that we have posted. They are very, very important. And like I said, you know, we're geared towards preparing you for what's coming, and it's definitely here and unfolding. And, you know, our people are always the last ones to know what's going on in the world. And after things have gone awry and they have been placed in a position of disadvantage, what we want to do is prevent that. So to give you heads up on what's going on in the world, give our opinion about, well, what is it and what does it mean and how does it affect you so that you can put yourself in a position of advantage, because believe me, even in the economic collapse that they will have for the common person here in this country particularly and primarily, but also throughout the world, but there are going to be opportunities that will come about from that that you need to know about and prepare for it now. You know, let me say something about preparing before we go any further in the show. A lot of the bad thing about preparing is this, is that people, so many times they see something go wrong and they don't see an adverse reaction to them, immediately. And that's the thing that the overall methodical approach to, different collapses and different things that really do adversely affect people is a slow methodical approach that is taken. It's not one thing that just all of a sudden and the bottom falls out, because then they know that people would be prepared if that was the case. The way that you catch people and to get them to where they're not ready for a system collapse or they get placed in a position of disadvantage is to have a slow, methodical approach to it all. And then by the time something happens, it's already too late for people to respond to it, and that's what catches them in the loop. And the thing about preparing is this, is that it is something that is a slow process that takes time. You know, in my own preparing for things, it's taken me years and years to prepare for, you know, middle level events, even before a big level event. But that's what you also want as a person, because what it offers you when you do that is that if you're able to get the things that people don't think are relevant. And you can get them at a better price point. There's more availability. And that's the thing with preparing, is that you want to start as soon as possible, because believe me, it takes a long time, an extremely long time to have any sizable tools and assets in order to prepare for things to come. Not that the tools and the assets will guarantee that you will do fine, but they will put you in a better position in order to mitigate some of the problems that we have. So just because something didn't happen today, just because we keep talking about this economic collapse, just because you haven't seen the 1929, 1928 bread lines and everything else, doesn't mean that we are not in a state of depression, because we are. But what it was done is that the governments were able to gloss it over and to hide it and disguise it and conceal it from the general population through different programs. And what they're going to do at the appropriate time is they're going to cut everything off, and then this is where it will be an immediate response. You do not want to have to respond to something immediately from a position of disadvantage. Haven't started preparing. You need to start preparing right now, and you need to be very disciplined in that. You need to make sacrifices, because the thing is that you want to try to get as much as you possibly can for the price points that you can and the availability that you can almost guarantee that it will be there, which it is that you need. Because at the appropriate time, things won't be there. And, I'm going to tell you, one great thing, I really wanted to make sure it wasn't going to be a part of my life, and it still could, but I wanted to actually minimize that as much as possible, is I didn't want for things to happen. I knew that they were going to happen. I saw that they were going to happen, and then they happened, and then I'm not ready for it, when I could have and I should be. And so that's why this whole preparedness thing takes some time, and take the opportunity, because we are much closer to it today than we were yesterday. And it's only a matter of time. Could be a year, 2 years from now. But when you hear that, you think, oh, well, I have time. No, you don't. Because it's going to take you an extreme, it's taken me many years just to get to the level that I am at now to prepare. It's going to take time. It's going to take funds. It's going to take energy. And it's not something that can be done overnight. You have to be really committed and make sacrifices to preparing now. So just wanted to throw that out about preparedness. But what I want to do is I want to go to some of the articles that are inside of Tando Radio Show from the last time that we were able to broadcast, some of the really, really relevant ones and important ones before we get into today's show. Real quick, want to go over. Wow, let's go back to, here we go. You know, we're going to go back to, we did that one. Did that one. Okay, this is one that was really, really telling. And you probably heard it on mainstream media, but we put it on, I think two days before mainstream media caught on to it and put it on. It was a Texas plumber sued car dealership after truck appears in a Syrian militant video, an ISIS video. You know, and he posted this back on December the 14th. Now, why is this so important? Well, if you know, if you've seen the so-called admitted ISIS people, which is nothing more than a proxy organization established by the U.S. intelligence agency, the Israeli intelligence agency, we also posted here inside of Tando a few weeks back, where a interview from 1984, where a gentleman was writing a book about the intelligence agency and the intelligence operatives and field, and he asked the Israelis, why didn't they have a named counterpart like CIA, NSA, or everything else? And he noticed that, and he asked a Israeli governmental official, and it was one that was in charge of the intelligence agency. And he said, so what is the name of the Israeli intelligence agency? He says, it's the Israeli Secret Intelligence Services. Israeli Secret Intelligence Services. It was ISIS. But this article that was posted inside of Tando on the 14th is telling, because you are starting to see the line of supply established with these people. And it's just not just the trucks. If you ever see them riding around in all their white trucks and everything else, you can see that was by Western means that they got those vehicles. Because those are some of the choice vehicles. And for the people that's been in the military, you can see tactics that they have that are similar to Western military practices. From the way that they hold their weapons, to the way that they carry themselves, from their tactics of movement and everything else. You, you can see the fingerprint from the Western nations itself. And so when you say the Western nations, who do you mean? At the forefront, I'm saying the United States government itself, not the people of the United States, but the actual shadow government within the United States is complicit in this. They've already admitted it, that they created them, and they've already established the chain of connection to them. This is so important because they keep talking about different groups that are carrying out acts of terror. And when you look at this government and what it's done throughout history, there's been no greatest terrorist organization on the military side, not the individuals within the military. They were actually, you know, some of them may have not known or didn't, because they, what they do is they give a political correctness and a spin to it to actually deceive people to do something, but some of them are full aware of what's going on and still participate in it. But there has always been a paradigm, an active paradigm of terror that this country has waged against the world. And this was purposely designed and put together so that the power structure can have a poster child that the world can look at and see and identify with in different means by choice, by their choice, how they wanted that overall propaganda and that overall reputation for that country to be. The U.S. was known as a military might, economically strong, a great empire, but see, all of that was a facade, placed in position so that they can control the general world population. And so now you're starting to see the transferring of these powers to another state and to another organization. And when they always do that, they always have the demise of the former. So when you look at this truck, this Texas plumber's truck actually ending up in ICE's hands, it is tells you everything, that there is a line of supply and support that's coming from no other than here. The shadow government that is here. And they're going to have you scared of everything in the world, and they are the ones that are actually producing this by on command. So it was just, you know, a really, you know, odd thing, but I'm not surprised because that's what they do. So check out that article. Next one was a real good one. South Korea government issues first yuan-denominated bond in China. The whole financial world is moving towards China. And we're going to talk about that a little bit in a second, but I want to get through some of these articles. This is key when South Korea is starting to buy the debt of China. That means that South Korea has already decided to be on the BRIC nation side when they actually have not the asymmetrical economic warfare against the United States and the NATO nations in the currency wars that they're having. When they have all-out admitted war, South Korea will, which is a jewel within that region of the world, which is a jewel in the Asian economic structure. South Korea will go with the BRIC nations. They will go with China. They will go with Russia. And this is one of the indications that will happen, because the U.S. has been fighting this for a while, but the momentum is already healed, and there's no way to turn this back. And we're going to talk about that, but this is a very, very important article with that there. Next, there was another one. Denmark confiscates gold, jewelry, and other valuables from refugees. Well, that's what's new about that. Governments always do that for people. They did that in all turned throughout history. We go on, you know, forever to name when they do that. This is what the governmental institutions do, you know, from Katrina to World War One, World War Two. You can go on throughout history where they've always seized the assets of who they deem as their now refugees. So another article, check that one out. This is a very important one. This one was on the 15th. Foreign holdings of U.S. Treasury securities fall in October. basically the world is dropping the dollar. Now, last week, last Tuesday, it'll be a week ago yesterday, tomorrow, the Federal Reserve announced that they were raising interest rates by 25 basis points, or quarter point. And the significance of that is that the dollar was going to be stronger. You would think, as the general population would think, a strong dollar means a good thing for the people. Well, let's take a look at it. It does mean that you're able to buy goods at a much cheaper rate. One of those things of a stronger dollar, and then oil is going down right now. You can see it within oil. Not that the price of oil is going down, is that the purchasing power of the dollar is strengthening. A lot of people think that that's good. In this case, it's absolutely the death nail coffin. The death nail in this economy's coffin. Why is that? Because of this. Right now, the U.S. is engaged in a currency war against the BRIC nations and the ASEAN nations and other nations. The key to a currency war is not to actually have a strong dollar. The weakest one wins. And that is based off of this. It's just like you and I and Scotty and everyone else that listens to Tando Radio Show. If you find a better deal with someone else, you're going to purchase from them instead of the person that has the higher prices for the same thing, for the same goods and everything else, especially if a whole bunch of other things go along with it that is not to your advantage. And that's exactly what the case is here. One of the things is just like the sun. When the sun goes, before the sun goes into supernova to explode and to die, it gets bigger. It gets bigger. And the U.S. dollar is strengthening because that's the natural process before it goes into full-blown collapse. And so the Federal Reserve last Tuesday sped up that process by causing the dollar to rise by increasing by changing the interest rates. And this is going to have such an economic, this is going to be such a burden economically in so many ways, because you will see one of the first things that after they raised the interest rate, the first thing that the bank did was they raised your prime rate on everything that you borrowed from them. They didn't increase your overall that you would get interest on your holdings inside of the bank. They increased the prime rate immediately. So you may be small to you. You know, you're going to see on your banking statement if you have a credit card or anything else in the next 2 weeks to a month or so, that rate is going to go up. You're going to be paying more. This is the problem with that. All of those companies and all of the infrastructure, the economic infrastructure that is debt laden has now just been given the push and the shove over the cliff. And they're going to continue to do this and raise interest rates, because this is going to bring about a even quicker economic collapse of the common person here. So the Federal Reserve ensured that last week by increasing the interest rate. And they are going to continue to do that. And it's no coincidence that this comes on the heels of just 2 weeks ago, where the IMF had admitted had brought into the SDR, Special Drawing Rights, basket of reserve currency status, the Chinese yuan. And this has everything to do with this. Foreign holdings of U.S. Treasury fall in October, because the rest of the world is dropping their dollars. Where do you think they're going? They're going to be establishing clearing houses to buy Chinese debt. China has some real economic problems right now, some extreme economic problems. But it's all contrived. Hey, everyone, you're going to go to a commercial break. When we come back, we will definitely get back on this show and on this topic. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
You are tuned in to the Tando Radio Show on Black Talk Radio Network. Have a question or comment? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND, 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Dave and the Tando Radio Show.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm your host, David Rannick, a day from L.A., but now in Dallas. And I just want to thank you all for listening today. So but just before we went into the commercial break, we're just running over some stories. So we were just checking out the story that I posted on the 15th. I came from ABC News, where foreign holdings of U.S. Treasury securities fall in October. People are divesting themselves of the U.S. dollar and the bonds and the Treasury securities, and they're reallocating those resources and those commitments to the economic powers that will serve them well in the future, and that being the Chinese renminbi, and that being some of the other currencies, not the euro. The euro is going to be probably the first to go before the dollar, and then the dollar will follow behind the euro, but the euro will go first because that's why they established the euro, for it to actually to collapse the European economic standing that's there, because this is all a part impartial to in the steps that you go into global war. So the rest of the world is divesting themselves. That's why the IMF, the International Monetary Fund, I call them the International MFers. This is why they did this, and they gave it 1 year to October of 2016, so that it will give countries time enough to reposition themselves. And when China backs their currency with gold, forget about it. Totally forget about it. And this is where we're going, and we've been posting a lot of that. We've been talking about that from the very start of Tando Radio Show. And hopefully you are catching this and seeing the importance for you to prepare for it, because if you don't prepare for it, you will still have to, you can ignore the you can ignore reality, but you can never ignore the consequences. And I really don't want you to have to deal with the consequences of not being prepared for this when this does finally happen, in a way that you cannot ignore the consequences, because the reality had already spoken and told you to make way and be ready for this. So while you still can, you need to really establish a plan of preparedness for this. That means some real discipline has to be invoked in your life. And if, you know, it's not what you see, it's what is on the horizon that really, really matters. So this is what the rest of the governments are doing. They're preparing because they know what's going on. Let me just say this. One of the reasons why the oil prices are so low right now, what they won't tell you, they won't allude to, I had said earlier, maybe a year ago, when oil was around $86 or $77, I told someone, I said, hey, these oil prices are going down to $29. They couldn't believe what I was saying. It was after was talking to Dwayne Moody and David Anderson. Told them that these oil prices are going to go down. I told David Anderson in private off air, these oil prices are going to go down to about $29. And this is when it was in the 60s. He was like, nah, no way in the world. It's so apparent, because these are the steps that have to take. Why these oil prices are really going down is because the global sovereign, the governments of the world, even though they're compartmentalized, they know that the world is going into a global war. And one of the things that they have to be able to hedge and get in front of the global war is they need to have oil in order to maintain some stability within their country, so that the people, you, don't kill them. And they want to have some stability in order to fight the war and also be able to have an economy that can be have the energy in order to fight the war. Because they're going to have to build plants and do all these other things. But in spite of all of that, there are, the U.S. will still lose this war that we're going into. It's already cooked in the books. But one of the first things that these governments realize in going into this war, they realize that they need oil, and they need a lot of it. See, these people don't live like you and I, okay? If it goes down $1, $2, that's like $1 million, $3 million to them, because they work off a margin. They're pushing these oil prices down low, and everyone is going in and getting as much oil, and they're artificially pushing these prices down for one main reason. One of the main reasons is because they know that we're getting ready to go into a global war. Not a proxy war, but a full-blown global war. And they know who's going to lose and who's going to win. Because it's all a charade. It's a facade of government. It's already, the moves has already been made, and the ending has already been written. And see, what these people need is they need oil as low as it possibly can be, so that they can purchase the oil at depressed depressed prices, and they're able to save it. They're able to hedge with it. They're able to store it. This is why, if you look at the Denver airport, they have a huge oil field at Denver's airport. They got more oil and gas there. They have more fuel there than what any major airport would ever need, because they're not storing oil for the airport. They're storing oil for the future, for what's about to come, when oil will not be able to traverse from one end of the world to the other, when oil is not going to be able to get through the Suez Canal, when all of the transportation points, the shipping lanes within that, those shipping lanes that oil comes to the rest of the world, will be closed because of battlefields or naval operations, tankers being sunk, tankers within the Suez Canal backing up the canal, or the canal being cut off, and then in obstacles are put in the canal so that these super tankers can't move. Once oil stops moving, that's when it will become one of the real indications that you had better had already prepared for that day before it had happened. Else you will be in a world of hurt. Won't be over, but you will be close to being over, because you will be in a position of disadvantage like no other time before in your life. So that's one of the real reasons why the oil prices are down. So let's go, because I'm going to hurry up so we can get into the show. Next, on the 16th, put two stories together where Chinese submarines were hoisting attacks on the USS carrier Reagan. And also, the Harry Truman just went into the Middle East, and believe me, these people are not above having a false flag and sinking an aircraft carrier, which is old and outdated in today's world. It is a liability instead of an asset in today's world. So check out that article. Next we have, this is a very, very important one. Scotty, you there? No, Scotty's there. I posted on December
18th. Yeah, I'm here.
Scotty, I posted something on December 18th. I don't know. I sent you, I don't know if you were able to get it. So I don't know if I did it right. There was an article that I posted inside of Tando Radio Show. I'm going to try to forward it to you now. Yeah, I think I did. I think I forwarded it to you. And what it was, and this is very telling. I'm going to share it, send it to you again, Scotty. Very, very telling. It says, deployment fail. It says, deployment fail. U.S. Special Forces arrive in Libya and immediately told to leave. And I want to, I'm going to send this to Scotty, because Scotty would see exactly what I'm talking about here. This article was extremely telling. And I say that because of this reason. In this article, it talks about how the U.S. Special Forces were in Libya to with all of their gear for operations, and they were told to leave. But before they left, they took a Facebook page picture and posted it. Let me tell you something about special operations. And anyone that's ever been in the military and has had any leveled experience within the military, special operations people don't take pictures exposing their faces. And in this picture, you can see there are some of the special ops people that are there that are wise enough not to fall for the trick and to totally cover their face or hide their face. Then there are some guys that just show their face. And that tells me that the person that took this photo was someone that the unit knew and trusted. But the people that hid their faces said something's wrong with this. You don't do this. This is like a big no-no.
I thought
these dudes are just casually posing for this. Go ahead, Scotty.
There has been no official announcement about any U.S. troops supposed to be on the ground in Libya. I mean, I know that they all over places, and you know they're not going to tell the public anything. But the official, you know, storyline is that, you know, the interim government or transitional government, and there are no boots on the ground, and all of this and that. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised to find out that you got special forces on the ground in Libya.
Yep. In this picture, and I don't know if you see it. I sent it to you, Scott. I don't know if you saw it, but one of the things is that when it comes to special forces, in anything else, they hide their faces in everything. In everything. This tells me that, one, this was planned. Two, it's the setup for them. It's the total setup for these dudes. If I was in this unit right now, it would be time to get out.
I follow
you. This is one of the indications that you know that, yo, they about to turn. The people that are in your command and control are putting you on a death mission.
Probably like they did Ambassador Stevens.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Scott.
Black Hawk Down, for those who saw that movie. You think that's what they setting up, to see some American troops' bodies being dragged through the streets so that then American people like, we got to get boots on the ground.
Yep. This is telling for me that, from my military experience, is that the false flag is in play. And, you know, I don't know, Scotty, if you can see it, there's a couple of dudes that are wise enough to maintain special forces operations, of maintaining their, concealing their identity. And you can see who these dudes are, and they're hiding. There's dudes, there are actually 20 of them, but they're actually hiding behind other people so they can't, their picture won't be made. But then there's like four or five of them that are all in the camera. Unbeknownst to them, that this whole, you know, they're like, oh, there's probably someone that they know and trust. And this is telling me that the setup is in. And this military thing is about to jump off in levels that, you know, that haven't been seen in the U.S. before. It's kind of like Scotty said, the, you know, from Black Hawk Down to anything is on the radar here. So I just wanted to give you guys some input on that, just saying that this is unusual and this is very concerning, because this tells you that they're about to be set up. Totally, totally set up. So then there was the next article that came posted on the 18th, 30 Iraqi soldiers killed, 20 injured by the U.S. airstrike. U.S. actually airstruck the Iraqi government military, because there's a divide between the U.S. Iraq wants to kick the U.S. out of, doesn't want the security agreement or contract to be done by the U.S. And who do you think the Iraqis want? They want Russia. And this is one of the things that the U.S. is going to be doing to Iraq. One, making Turkey invade Iraq. And they're destabilizing Iraq, the U.S., because they can't lose that position. This is the whole ebb and flow of the whole world right now. This is why this is so, so important. What used to be your ally. And this is what you're going to start to see played out throughout the world.
And your voice is getting real low, Dave.
Oh, sorry. I said many countries will start to turn their back on the U.S. They will start to turn their back on the U.S., and the U.S. will actually engage them militarily because of it. This is why you need to be careful in some of the investments that you have, because you can end up investing in an enemy, and then and then you can lose some investments from trading with the enemy clause that will be invoked. So that was a very, very telling article. But we're getting ready to go. I want to get into today's show. But just before we do that, the budget increase was passed overnight a couple of days ago, and this is nothing more than an extension of the Patriot Act, the spending bill to keep the government open, shut down from happening. There were so many underlying things that were played into there to take your freedoms from the internet, to making you pay for refugees that will be brought here that was classified as refugees, and so many different other things that are stealing the liberties that they give you. See, this is why it's so important for you not to accept the liberties that any institution will give you. The liberties that you should have are God-given, and ones that you, your sovereignty is more important than your freedom. Freedom has a limitation. Being free and independent and being sovereign and self-determining knows no bounds and should be, and the expense to ensure that should be paid at all costs. But freedom can be taken away from you at any moment, especially from those that, the ones that give it to you. Because freedom is actually an act of enslavement without repercussions. So, those are some of the articles that I wanted to share with you guys in today's show. And today's show is going to be the empire switch from wealth to worthless, which is what we're having right now. And the truth about this is unfolding on all fronts. Everyone is preparing for this, and you need to know about it. And today I wanted to play two videos. One is going to be like 4 minutes long. The last one, very, very telling. I'm going to give you some market insight of how the overall financial collapse is going to be playing out, which we've been talking about for a very long time. But today, the longer video is going to be about 20 minutes. The longer video, very good video, is actually from a military insider who's coming out and telling you some of the things that's really, really going on. And I don't want to blow it, but, and then I'll post the videos inside of Tando, but has some very, very telling things to say about the state that we're in and where we're going. And you really need to listen to what he did in the past, what he's talking about now. Very, very telling. And my thing is that I always, always listen to anyone that wants to talk so that I can devise, because one of the things that I learned as a young man is that be careful what you say, because then everyone will know what you're thinking. Be quick to listen so that you'll know what they're thinking. Even if they're telling you a lie, you can discern it by listening. But I think that this gentleman is giving some truths. I'm not saying everything he's saying is true, but he's giving some key truths that we need to look at and prepare for, because they're telling you everything that's going to happen and what is happening right now as we speak. So what I want to do is we're going to go to the video real quick. We're going to go to the first one, and this individual has a military background, and he will basically, the interviewer will basically tell you who he is and what his extension is. I want you to really, really, the extension of his military service. Please, everyone, really, really pay attention to what he's going to be saying, and then the second video, the 4 minute one, you definitely have to pay attention to what this lady is saying, she's telling you that this economy is done in so many words. And we will definitely talk about that and take some calls once we finish listening to Tando Radio Show. We're going to jump into these videos, and then we'll come back and talk about it even further. This is Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. I'm going to go to the next one.
I'm sitting here in D.C. with the rare opportunity to speak with someone who served in the innermost circles of the U.S. war machine. Colonel Lawrence Wilkerson is a former U.S. Army Airborne Ranger who flew over 1,000 combat missions in Vietnam. He was National Security Advisor to the Reagan administration and later served as Chief of Staff to Colin Powell during the Bush administration. You're a retired Army officer. You're a Republican. Given your inside experience in the government and military, how would you explain the purpose of U.S. foreign policy?
Today, the purpose of U.S. foreign policy is to support the complex that we've created in the national security state that is fueled, funded, and powered by interminable war and the ramifications thereof. That's a sad commentary on what America has become, but it's a realistic and, I think, honest appraisal of what America has become.
Mm-hmm. Has it ever been about altruism?
You could say there were even altruistic aspects to the slaughter and ethnic cleansing of Native Americans from the Mississippi to the Pacific Coast by Phil Sheridan's Army of the West, if you wanted to really dip into the bag and find something. But I don't think overall and comprehensively it's been altruistic. It's been about sheer power. And lately, it's not even been about realistic application of that sheer power or realistic attempts to expand it. It's been more or less so failed in its overall general aspects that it has diminished our real power in the world. And this is what concerns me most seriously, because history demonstrates, I think, that this is what empires do when they're getting ready to collapse. They began to be so zealous of their own power and its expansion that they actually decrease their power until it becomes inevitable that they cease to exist, or they don't exist in the same form they did when they were an empire.
And you've talked about the capital interests that are behind pretty much every U.S. military intervention in the last decade, if not century. What sort of economy are we waging war on today, and what capital interests would you say are behind the war on terror?
After World War II, the United States engaged in a monstrous twilight conflict, if you will, that it calls the Cold War. It's probably a pretty apt term. In that process, it built up what are the appurtenances now of a national security state, the military-industrial congressional complex, all the armaments industry that goes into that, the far-flung basing structure we have all over the world, which now is 800 or 900 places that we have little colonial dots, if you will, imperial dots, and to the wars that we're fighting and now almost interminably. All of this is the leftover of what we did during that Cold War, to include physical expenditures beyond the scope even of human imagination. We have spent so much money on maintenance of our empire that it is becoming a critical part of it too. Our debt now is something like $18 trillion. Unparalleled debt in my mind in the history of empire. In constant dollars or in current dollars. So this is a situation that's unsustainable, but it has come to a point where the power structure, which I would define as both financial apparatus that this empire has generated, and the economic aspects of it, which are less and less industrialized and productive, therefore, a real economy, in other words, and more playing with money and the interest on money and capital in general, as Thomas Piketty has pointed out in his book, Capitalism in the 21st Century, so eloquently. We now have more capital awash in the world than we have earned income. As I say, earned income is a very second place in the world. Capital is the real driving force in the world, and it's capital that's passed on from family to family, from generation to generation, and therefore corruptive and poisonous. We're in real trouble right now because of what this empire has generated, because of the incentives and motivations of it, and because it's basically run by about 1% of the people, if not fewer, in this country, constituting essentially a plutocracy. There are 400 families, 400 wealth centers, private wealth centers in the United States constituted around a family structure that equal the gross domestic product of Brazil. Today, I read a percentage, which I can't even recall. It had so many zeros in front of it, but it was much less than 1% of the country has the approximate wealth of the GDP of India. So we're talking about a concentration of wealth and a concentration of capital, which is not productive wealth, unless it is actually going back into the real economy to generate industry that produces something, that is, it's unconscionable. It's reprehensible in many ways, because what you've got is the rest of the country, and in many respects the rest of the world, living off the rest of the scraps.
And it's totally unsustainable, as you're mentioning. Yes. That this is a trajectory that is not going to last.
Not sustainable.
Behind the belligerents waging war, there are certain industries that are in play that continue to garner interest, extract resources.
Look at what's happening in Syria right now, for example. Just a microcosmic example. The Air Force is about to run out of ordnance. It has dropped so many bombs and shot so many cruise missiles that it's about to run out of ordnance. Well, I will guarantee you that companies like Raytheon and Lockheed and others who make these armaments are salivating, because they are going to be making another round of these armaments and into the interminable unknown future. They're going to be making these armaments. It's incredible what we're doing.
And in fact, they are salivating at that. Lockheed, Boeing, all of these different institutions, defense institutions, are openly talking about what a great benefit this is to them. The Syria war, all of these escalations. I wanted to read you a quick fact. In 2008, the Government Accountability Office found that over 2,400 former generals were employed at 52 of the biggest defense contractors as senior executives and acquisition officers. A high percentage of retired general officers retire, go straight into jobs in the defense industry, making well over six figures, often with the corporations they dealt with while serving. How does this revolving door function? I mean, how close is this relationship in terms of actual foreign policy creation?
It's so close that you actually had during the Iraq War, and as far as my history lessons go, it's the first time it's occurred this way, and now is going on continuously. General officers who not only go out into the armaments industry and its associated paraphernalia and make money based on their influence gained while in service, you actually have them going out and joining the media and making the media more conversant with and attuned to and want war. So you actually have general officers who will go out and go to CNN, go to MSNBC, go to Fox News, and they will get, again, your six-figure salaries for being the security experts on those news shows, and they will report to the American people the dire need for this continued conflict, the dire need for soldiers on the ground in Syria, the dire need for more war. It's incredible what has happened in that respect. That's not a direct contribution to the armaments industry, but it's certainly a very vivid contribution to the warmongering and to the interminable state of war.
Is it the interlocking board of directorates on these companies, or is it just the advertising that's straight injected into the corporate media?
I wish it were something that you could put your finger on like that. It's so many different things, including what you just said, but not necessarily consciously or coherently, except in some cases, I think. It's all of these things contributing, and it's not any one of them, as Eisenhower said in his farewell address, it's not something you put your finger on and say, aha, that's malicious. That's intent. It's not only complicit, it's intent. It's not that. It's this accumulation of vast power that's oriented towards what first increases its power, and second, what makes it rich, that comes together and causes this. If it were something that you could root out, and you can hand over to the FBI or to the Supreme Court or someone to adjudicate, it'd be a different matter, I think. Not that it would get done very easily, but it'd be a different matter. It's not something like that. It's pernicious. It's, as Eisenhower said, it's in every statehouse, in every federal office building. It's even in every home in America. It is this unconscious, sometimes, power-driven aspect of it that makes it so difficult to combat. In fact, I'll sit here and be a pessimist, a cynic, and I'll say we aren't going to correct this until something truly serious happens to right the ship of state, which might also sink the ship of state. Now we have every other general officer, admiral, walking out and signing up with glee to work for armaments.
Well, other than the egregious, unethical nature of how this functions, I mean, what is the legal caveat to how this is actually working? Is it just a machine that's working on its own and just continues to become more pernicious as time goes on?
They're not the most competent people in the world. They're not the most capable people in the world. And they're not the most, shall we say, professional people in the world. That's part of it. But the second part of it is, it's become the thing to do. It's become de rigueur. I mean, it's what you do. If you serve 30, 35 years, you expect to have a six-figure salary with someone like Raytheon or Halliburton or Booz Allen Hamilton. We haven't even talked about the Beltway Bandits that do more intelligence than the CIA. And I use that term very loosely there, intelligence. But it is a corporate complex that is growing, and it surrounds everything else, including what I call fateful decision-making, which is the decision-making to send young men and women to die for state purposes.
And speaking of the young men and women who go to die, you know, there seems to be a huge class stratification, of course, between the people who are making the policy and the people who are actually giving their lives on the battlefield. I mean, if you join the military in today's age, whose interests are you serving when you do put your life on the line?
You're serving what one veteran in my seminar at Wynn Memory said to me not too long ago, about 3 weeks ago, Army veteran, Iraq, Afghanistan. You're serving the ulterior purposes of the leadership of the country. And I said, what do you mean by that? And he said, you're serving corporate and commercial interest. You're serving the interest of people who bureaucratically are seeking power within the structure. And you're serving the interest of what is basically an incompetent governing process. Wow, that was a pretty powerful statement, I told him, and he said, yep, and I'll never go back again, I guarantee you that, because I didn't realize that until I was about halfway through my last tour in Afghanistan.
Let's talk about the draft. It hasn't been in place for some time. On one hand, you have the military so desperate that they're paying NFL and sports stadiums for pro-military propaganda. On the other hand, you have women that are now being pushed to enlist in the draft. What are these measures of desperation mean, and what do you think about the draft?
It really isn't an all-volunteer force. It's an all-recruited force, because we're spending billions of dollars to entice these people who feel that they don't have many other prospects into the armed forces. We're bringing them into a service that's supposed to be professional, disciplined, and altruistic. We're bringing them in with the most heinous of selfish, greedy purpose. We're paying them what they couldn't make otherwise. We're giving them bonuses. It is so bad now that the cost for personnel in my Army, and to a certain extent in the Marine Corps, is coming close to being 50% of the cost of that service on an annual basis. If for no other reason, the all-volunteer force is going to bankrupt the Defense Department, so they're going to have to look at some other options.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about your role in the Bush administration during the lead-up to one of the most devastating wars ever perpetrated by the empire, of course, the Iraq War. You not only served as Colin Powell's chief of staff, but you prepared his infamous speech to the UN about Iraq and its weapons of mass destruction. How did you miss the faulty nature of the intelligence given your week-long analysis, given the stakes?
I've looked at it from a much more, shall we say, soul-piercing way. Not only was the intelligence picture a failure on the part of the intelligence agencies for various reasons, it was also cherry-picked by the vice president. It was put together to a certain extent by the Office of Special Plans and Doug Weishaupt in the Pentagon. And it was largely orchestrated, as the MI6, the British memo said, it was orchestrated, shaped around the policy, or the policy was essentially, you know, fed with intelligence that would shape it, would feed it. So there were a number of reasons for the failure. There were a number of reasons for my own personal failure. I lament those reasons. I'll never forget the occasion. I'll go to my grave remembering it. But I can certainly, from an academic point of view, see how, and this is sad, and it frightens me to a certain extent, how this happened in the past, has happened in the past, or whether it's something in the future. For example, let me give you a vivid example. I'll tell you how I looked at the immediate reports that Bashar al-Assad had used chemical weapons in Syria a year or so ago. I said, bull. I'll believe it when I see evidence that it actually happened. And you know, I went to every person I knew in the intelligence community and every person outside the United States I knew, to include two people who were in Syria at the time, and I knew what was going on, and I respected their vision and their knowledge. None of them could confirm for me, not a single one, that Bashar al-Assad used those chemical weapons. Instead, there were possibilities they were used by other parties in Syria, as well as Bashar al-Assad, and frankly, the evidence looked more strongly for other parties than the president. So I still think there is high potential for this kind of manipulation of intelligence, this kind of fabrication of intelligence, and this kind of refusal to take dissent in the leadership in this country right now today. And I'll tell you very seriously, I'm very skeptical of the intelligence establishment and what it says.
Right. I mean, I always thought it was weird that the UN weapons inspectors were there on the ground, and that's when Bashar al-Assad decided to use the chemical weapons,
right,
when he already knew that was the red line. This whole red line mantra, I think, is really interesting, because why should weapons of mass destruction of any sort be that red line to actually legitimize the invasion and occupation of a sovereign nation? I wanted to say one more thing about the case. One of the biggest resonating factors, I think, in the speech was Saddam's anthrax stockpiles and bioweapons labs, considering the fact that America had just been traumatized by its own anthrax attacks where five people tragically lost their lives. Why did you choose to hinge so much on anthrax in the speech?
No, as a matter of fact, we winnowed that thing to death. We threw tons of stuff out that we simply looked at and said, all this is an extrapolation from 1991 or 92. In other words, we looked at it and said, the CIA has no evidence that Saddam has done what they're saying he's done. All they've done is made a linear projection. If he was producing 6 ounces in 1991, and we knew that positively from the inspectors after the war, then he's now got 46 ounces because he could do 2 a year, you know, or whatever. That's what they've done.
Of course, it came out that the anthrax came from our own bioweapons lab. The final report from the FBI found no hard evidence linking Bruce Ivins to the attack.
Well, I don't know that. And I can't tell you why I don't know that, but I don't know that. I don't know it with the clarity with which you just expressed it.
That's what the FBI said.
Well, the FBI is as incompetent as any other bureaucratic entity within the federal structure, so.
Right, but I think it is pretty much conclusive that it came from within, I mean, the bio grade of the anthrax came from within the U.S. establishment.
It wouldn't surprise me. It wouldn't surprise me.
Well, let's talk about what was your kind of deciding factor to speak out and be so vocal.
Torture.
Really?
When Powell came through my door in May, I guess it was, of 2004, and told me about some photographs that were going to come out, be made public, about a place called Abu Ghraib in Iraq. By the time I walked out of the State Department, I was ready to go find somebody and cut his throat, because I knew that the United States had been involved in heinous activities in Vietnam. I knew they'd been involved in heinous activities in the Philippines. Indeed, a brigadier general, as I recall, had machine gunned 1,000 people in a ditch in the Philippines. And Teddy Roosevelt had sent him a telegram congratulating him until people found out what he'd really done. And then Teddy had to kind of withdraw that approval. But I knew we'd done some really bad things in the past, particularly in war. But I never, never knew in any time in our history where those bad things had not only been authorized at the highest levels in the land, but encouraged by the highest levels in the land. And I mean the president and the vice president of the United States and some of the cabinet officers. They were complicit in this. They gave instructions that they damn well knew were going to cause the armed forces of the United States to involve themselves in violations of the Geneva Conventions, the law of war, and the manuals that they operated under. That just threw me. That I said, I can't stay silent anymore. I'm going to speak out.
And looking back at the horrors of the administration, as you mentioned, the torture, wanton detention, and then, of course, the illegal war, essentially, that was based on false pretenses that cost the lives of 1 million Iraqis. Do you think that any members of the Bush administration should be charged with war crimes?
I've said so in the past. I do think they should be charged. I think 6 lawyers in particular ought to be disbarred immediately. They should have been disbarred immediately. I think they should probably also be tried.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. soldiers have been continuously dying in Afghanistan. It's America's longest war. Today, they're still facing death, horrific injuries for essentially no purpose, it seems. I mean, how do you think they should understand the war in Afghanistan? What do you think their purpose should be?
The war in Afghanistan has morphed. It's not about Al-Qaeda anymore, and it's not about the Taliban anymore. It's about China, Russia, the soft underbelly, which is mostly Muslim of Russia, about Pakistan, about Iran, about Syria, about Iraq, about whether Kurdistan is stood up or not, and ultimately about oil, water, and energy in general. And the U.S. presence in Afghanistan, I'll predict right now, will not go away for another half century.
Oh my God, that's a horrible thought.
And it will grow. It will not decrease. It will grow.
And let's talk about strategic influence, especially, you know, we see this Cold War resurrection going on right now. As someone who's lived throughout the Cold War, the schism within the establishment when it comes to Russia and this new posturing with Russia. After the reunification of Germany, there was a promise on behalf of NATO that it would not continue to build up. What has
not
instead happened?
Not one inch further east is what Jim Baker, Secretary of State, said to Edward Shevardnadze.
What interests are behind the buildup?
Why do we want more countries in NATO? Because then Lockheed Martin and Raytheon and Boeing and others can sell to them. Then the Soviets, now the Russians, won't be selling to them. Why do we want Ukraine?
Don't we have enough? I mean,
empire never has enough. That's the nature of imperial power. It never has enough. Have you ever watched Battlestar Galactica or Star Wars, you know, or Game of Thrones? Empire never has enough power. It never has enough wealth. It never has a more stable status quo. It has a increasingly unstable status quo. And so its efforts are ever more frenetic to protect that status quo, its power and its wealth, and to even expand them. That's the nature of empire. And that's what we are now. That's what we are. Everyone's protestations to the contrary, that's what we are. Mm-hmm. Depending on whose report you read, about a third, 20%, I'll say, to 30% of Russia's heavy armaments industry is in Ukraine. What do they do for tanks? What do they do for their heavy armaments in their military if Ukraine goes? The idea that we could do something in Ukraine, covert or otherwise, and have Putin not respond is just laughable.
You know, I feel like a lot of people, of course, feel helpless, especially those of us living within the empire, paying and sponsoring all these atrocities with our tax dollars. What can we do from preventing this government, the military-industrial complex, from crushing us?
The people, the American people, or at least a substantial, powerful minority of them, hopefully a powerful majority of them, are going to have to get sick and tired of this. They're going to have to get angry about it, and they're going to have to take action. That's the only thing that I see as a way to salvage this republic before it sinks completely. We are going to have a very powerful minority, or hopefully, as I said, a majority, 51%, 52%, who actually stand up on their hind legs and say, I've had it. This isn't going to happen anymore. You're not getting... Does that mean revolution? It might. It might indeed.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
Welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. We're going to go to the second video, and this one is like 4 minutes long. It's really short, but what this is said in this video is so critically important, because they're telling you the collapse is here, and I want you to listen to see if you can catch when they're saying it's going to happen and how it's going to happen. I think it's part and partial. But we're going to go to the second video now.
This is the one place we're not afraid to fail. Some of these experiments may not work. but a few might shape the future.
It's ad playing on it right now, Brother Dave. Got about 15
okay.
seconds.
Yes. 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 I want everyone to get some video. I mean, the ads are playing, but when you come back, really, really pay attention to the questions and the answers. This is some of the most truth that you will get from mainstream media. And we're going to talk about what the Colonel talked about and what this video is talking about. Let's go to the
differences.
It's a good question, yes. Lucidus is a fund that has already sold all of its assets. It's going to return its money to investors. But they were a little different from Third Avenue. They were a hedge fund, and they were basically set up in 2009 to trade in the high yield and the credit indexes, credit default swaps, things like that. Those markets have been a lot quieter than people would have expected in 2009, in part from because of regulation, in part because it was sort of a one-way trade for a long time. Everybody was getting into credit. And so they just didn't find the opportunity to profit. They didn't do horribly badly. They were down a little bit. But the reason they're closing is because they had one big redemption request in October, and they realized it wasn't going to work for them to try to shrink. So they've just decided to return all their money to investors. That's very different from what's happening at Stone Lion and Third Avenue, where they can't return all their money to investors. They realized they couldn't get out of their positions fast enough. So they've put up these gates, as they're called, to basically tell their investors, like, hang on, we're not going to do a fire sale, try to get out of all of these investments we have. We're going to get you your money, but it's going to take time. So Lucidus will be able to return all the money. Third Avenue and Stone Line are trying to find out if they can.
You say fire sale, and people are worried about contagion. Before I ask you that in specific, we have a bit of tape from David Barst back in August addressing some of the concerns about this sector of the market. Let's take a listen to that.
No, I don't think it's a crisis. It's a change that's evolving in the market every day, and people are learning how to adjust. There'll be a lot of winners, and there'll be a lot of losers as a result of what's happening. But I think the most important point about this is the opportunity that it's creating, because dislocation in prices is exacerbated by what's going on. Certain securities, because of that illiquidity component, are just getting super cheap.
So he there alluding to difficulties in the space as far back as a few months ago. Are people right to be worried about this? Again, this is sort of mirroring what happened in the lead up to the crisis a few years ago.
Yeah, I mean, of course, that's one of the big questions everybody has is where does this go from here? Is this a few funds that got a little bit too risky, a little bit too hopeful that they could get out when they needed to? Or is it something that's going to kind of ripple out into other parts of the economy or other part of the financial sector? Right now, there's no sign that's happening. But obviously, a lot of people remember back in 2007, a few funds had problems, and then next thing you knew, some banks had problems, and it sort of went from there. So we're all working very hard to try to figure out what's next. The character of the high yield and distressed investor is generally like David Barst. You know, they think that whenever prices get cheap, they see opportunities, they want to take that risk. And of course, that can be very successful and can make you a lot of money. The problem is when nobody wants what you've got and you have to get out, that's not a good place to be.
Just lastly, talk about the particular difficulties of investing in this space. And you were talking about how things have changed since the financial crisis in terms of regulation. There is a lot of risk associated with the sector.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, it's grown enormously, the high yield market. It's a lot, lot bigger than it used to be. And that's in part because with the Fed and other central banks pushing down interest rates on everything that was deemed kind of safe investments. Investors naturally looked for ways they could get more return on their investments. They went into riskier and riskier things thinking, aha, you know, this will be okay. David Barst kind of explained that, you know, always looking for an opportunity to boost their returns. And that was working for a long time for a lot of people. But when it turns, it really kind of does tend to turn, sort of like what we saw in 2008 with the subprime. Like it really turned. Nobody wanted that stuff. And it becomes very illiquid. You know, regulation has definitely reduced the willingness of the sell side or the banks to go in and take chances. In some ways, that was by design. They don't want banks taking it all onto their books and then the taxpayer to have to bail them out. So these losses are going to be with these funds that took that risk. And we'll see if the banks actually took some of the risk themselves.
All right, Christine, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Christine Harper with Bloomberg News joining us here in New York.
Okay, everyone. Play these two videos. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. Give us a call. The number is 641. It's the area code 715-3660. And the participant code is 5490-32 pound. And hit star 61, and I will see you in queue and definitely bring you up so that you can be heard. Now, very, very important two videos. And the first video is what the Colonel said, something that we've been talking about here on Tando for a very long, long time, is that empires have an insatiable appetite. And this insatiable appetite, they tell you that one thing is on the menu when their consumption is really something else. They'll tell you that the menu for their appetite is they want you to have prosperity, they want you to have freedom, you need to be fighting for it, you need to be ensured by engaging within their parent, in their overall set of rules, you need to be participating by voting, by paying your taxes and doing all of these other things, and then you can also get your money up, when they call it money, because they know it's not really money, when it's really currency, because currency is nothing more than a slave wage. That's what they want you to do. See, their insatiable appetite is not the menu that they give you. That's the deception. Their insatiable appetite has everything to do with power and everything to do with controlling free will, where you surrender your free will to them willingly to serve them. They don't care about the currency, which you call money, but which isn't money. They don't care about the currency. They don't care about the economic structure because they built it. They built it. They've orchestrated it. This is their construction. They created this virus. They've created the internet. They know the back doors to hack the internet. They are the hacker. They are the game maker. They are the odds makers and everything else. But see, they want you to think that you're inclusive in this overall economic and citizenry euphoric system. And it's a utopia, you know, a bludgeon utopia at best. They want you to think that you're participating in it, when in actuality, they're engineering it. And they need to engineer it so you will never wake up to who you really are and what your free will, how strong your free will is, and the overall importance of it. Because your free will has energy, and energy begets life. And life begets prosperity, sustainability. And so these two videos go hand in hand. The general was telling you that the colonel was saying in so many words that this empire is done and over. One of the ways that they're collapsing it, didn't say it all, but I'm going to tell you, it's cyclical. They've handed over to one country, to another country at a different time to maintain rule over the people, to maintain that the rule that the people will surrender to them and ask for freedom. You're born sovereign, independent, and self-determined. You're born free. But in order for you to maintain that sovereignty, you have to invoke it. It can't be penned by someone else's hand. It can't be mandated by someone else's decree. It can't be legislated by a group of liars. It can't be voted on by the deceived. You can never vote on your freedom by way of the system that has been created and laid out. Yes, your grandmother, your mother, your father, your great-grandfather, all of them participated in it, because most of us participate in what we know nothing about. And they know that this is true, and they know the effectiveness of that, because let me tell you, they tell you everything. They will always have a wild dog trained and domesticated by one that has already surrendered to the training. You have been domesticated. We have been domesticated into freedom. The decreed the written, the handwritten, pen dried, ink dried, printed, copied, and posted freedom on inanimate elements that don't live. And the first thing that we kill is our self-determining spirit. And there is repercussion for that. There are ramifications to that. There is a disease that comes in from that. And our bodies have become and our spirits have become infirmed because of it. Now, this colonel was talking about the overall military-industrial complex and how vast it is. It's beyond the scope of one thing. He's very correct here. Because there are so many people that are participants and accomplices to this crime and this conspiracy, because everyone just wants to get there. I got to get mine. And this overall paradigm that we live in perpetuates itself because everyone is giving energy, the negative side of their energy, to maintain it in so many ways. So it has no choice but to grow, get stronger, become more prevalent, become more believable, and become and have more influence that people will surrender to. Look how many people we think are so wise that have surrendered to it. They surrendered to it because there was some gain, personal gain to them. You can never ever have a society that will give a mirage of prosperity and people believe that the oasis is there and they continue to walk towards it. You'll always walk past sovereignty. You will always walk past self-determination. You will always walk on a leash. In the second video, really need to point this out. Second video. One of the things that she said, I hope you caught it. She said that we are working hard to figure out what is going to happen next. Because they are telling you to collapse here. And what they were talking about, Lucent had told their investors, it was a hedge fund. Hey, we're going to give you back your cash. We're going to give you back your investment. See, they do that now, but in the future, they're telling you that hedge funds are collapsing. They're going to, guess what they're going to do to Lucent people? They're going to do something called a clawback. All those people that were given their investment back, they're going to take it from them through clawbacks. And then on Third Avenue, the people lost everything. Because it was a high yield bond. And this is the thing, these bonds are now exploding. This exposure to the high yield and the gambling that was done there is now coming due because they've lost. The one gentleman you heard was in charge of Third Avenue. And he was trying to give you, oh, everything is going to be okay. But no, it's not. That's why he was on there, to try to reassure the people that had made the investment that they were going to be fine. They've been trying to reassure you for so long that your pension is fine. They've been trying to reassure you for so long that the economy is fine. They've been trying to reassure you for so long that your standard of living is not threatened and it's all a lie. It's already been lost. And this is why it's so, so important for you to really, really buckle down and make sacrifices to prepare and to remove yourself as much as you possibly can from this system. The Federal Reserve, the very same Federal Reserve that hiked the interest rate, had already had emergency meetings. They're posted inside of Canada. What do you think that these emergency meetings were all about? These emergency meetings were all about the war economically and the global war that's going to be playing out and how they're going to structure it in that. And in that structuring, They've already came out after those emergency meetings, or just before those emergency meetings, saying that then there's no going to be no more bailouts. And when there's no more bailouts, the only thing that's left is bail-ins. Meaning you, the general population, will be held liable and will service the defaulting debt of the gambler. This is what's being instituted. This is what's happening. And this young lady had, and the lady had laid it out in so many words. She was telling me, just like in 2007, just like in 2007, just like in 2007. We didn't see these things, and then they just came upon us. We don't know how deep they are. Well, I'll tell you how deep they are. I already told you how deep it is. Why do they have to tell you this now? Because they've already stolen your currency, your investment. But what they've really already stolen is they've stolen the labor of your past, that you'll never be 20 years old again and be able to work the way that you did at 20, 30, or 40. You'll never be able to use that energy that you used in the past for your benefit in the future. That's the real theft. That's the real theft that's here. And you're going to see this to continue to play out. And let me tell you something. The stock market is no indication that you're in depression. A depression is basically financially and economically by their system defined as not having enough currency. There is a depression within this country. There is far less currency to chase the good. When you have too much currency and not enough goods, you have hyperinflation. We will continue to see a deflationary approach with a depression before you'll see the hyperinflation that will come in. That's really, we've been in a state of depression. They try to call it the Great Recession. The play on words. The play on words is this. Continue to trust us and we'll come up with a new politically or a new propaganda or a new marketing scheme to deceive you as to how bad your overall economic future will be from what's stolen from you. But see, the wage of a king is gold. The wage of a lady and a gentleman is silver. The wage of a slave is debt. They pay you in debt every time they settle out or pay you for what you've done. And this is really where we are. And it's a very important thing that we have to understand so that this cannot continue. At some point, one generation is going to have to say enough to save the next generation. The true measure of love is when you stop living for yourself and start living for the advancement of someone else. And that is what really needs to be played out now. It needs to be played out now. And the best way to play that out is if you can financially and strategically place yourself absent of the system. We got a couple of callers that's in queue. Want to go to them? Hey, Scotty, I can't go to the caller here. So can you bring them up for me?
Yes, sir. Let's go ahead and take that last break.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even see the time. All right. We're getting ready to go to a commercial break. There's a caller in queue. Definitely, we'll get back to you. When we come back out of the break, we'll get back to you. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. 641-715-3660, and the participant code is 549032#, and hit *61. You're listening to Tando Radio Show, brought to you by Black Talk Radio Network. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break.
The Tando Radio Show is live on Black Talk Radio Network, Monday through Fridays at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern. Check Black Talk Radio Network on Facebook for updates. Also, don't forget to follow Tando Radio Show on Facebook as well. Have a question or comment for the host? Give us a call at 641-715-3660. That's 641-715-3660. The participant code is 549-032-POUND. That's 549-032-POUND. To signal the host, hit *61. Now back to Tando Radio Show on the Black Talk Radio Network.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to Tando Radio Show. Sorry about that, Scotty. I guess I could. I was up. I was running, so I couldn't take that phone call. But we got a caller that's in queue. Would love to go back to this caller real quick. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you're calling from, and what's your question or comment?
Hello, my name is Isatu, and I'm calling from Arizona.
Hey, Sister Isatu, how you doing? Good to hear you.
It's good to hear you, too, brother.
What's going on?
I had a question about debt. Mm-hmm. All right, now, how can you pay off debt with debt? Doesn't that make it null and void?
Great question. Yes, it does. And they try to get that past the people that are naive to what it is, and you're absolutely right. You can't pay off debt with debt. And actually what you do is you become more indebted in actuality. You know, because one of the things in society too is so true, when you have a credit card, that's contractual debt. You can take your cash and pay that contractual debt off. But what does that really do to you? It does two things for you. That gives you a false illusion that you are actually becoming debt free so that you will be more indebted and enslaved to it. Because what happens is that when you pay off debt with a debt instrument, contractual debt with currency, with your cash, what happens is that you become a hoarder of cash and you start to think that cash is it. And it is nothing but even a worse instrument of debt than it is for that overall contract of debt in your credit card. And it works this way. That contract can be defaulted on by you. You can actually default on a contract. You can actually default on that debt. You could do bankruptcy and a bunch of other things. That's a default. But see, when you hold cash, it defaults on you. You don't default on it. It defaults on you. And it claims bankruptcy to you. You don't get to claim bankruptcy on currency. Currency depicts bankruptcy on you. What do I mean by that? It means this. Just like you can default on a credit card or any contract, the controllers of cash can default on you. They can go into bankruptcy. And when they go into the bankruptcy, the borrower loses. I mean, the actual lender loses. And you're the lender when it comes to cash. Because what they can do is default, and then that cash loses its purchasing power, and you've been hoarding it. You've been saving it in your bank account. You've been saving it for your children. You've been saving it in different ways. You've already developed a relationship. You come up with cream, cash rules, everything around me. You live by it. We're addicted to it. And what they do is this. They go through bankruptcy of the currency, and you become the holders of it, but it doesn't have any value. Just like when you claim bankruptcy on a credit card, on a any contract of debt that you have. So Sister Isatu is exactly right. You can't pay off debt with other debt. It's a facade. It's a lie. It's a trick. And they do that, and they always tell you to pay off your debt, pay off your debt, pay off your debt. If you're going to pay off your debt, then this is what you need to do. You need to transfer your currency into real money. It can't go into default. Not pay off your contractual debt only. And everybody that talks about it and is big about paying off debt and credit and everything else is there that way because they don't know any better because they've been schooled and not educated. Huge, huge difference. Huge difference. That's a great question, and I'm glad you put it that way. Did you want to say anything else about that? Did you?
No, I'm just glad that, we'll see how time is going to play out, come next year. But I was going to say, I'm just glad tax season's coming around and I'm listening to you. So I know where to invest to make actual real, you didn't say money is not the word. What is it? You said real assets, real.
Yeah, real assets and real money. There is real money and there is real assets. You always want to transfer your debt into a performing asset or into real money. They tell you, see, it's so funny, they trick everyone. I'm telling you, and I always say this, you heard me say it before, the key to magic is not to trick you, but to make you believe. They make you think that cash is money when it's not. It's a debt instrument, and they tell you that right on the front of the dollar bill in the currency, because it's not real money. It's an instrument of debt. So I think we lost Sister Isa too. Great question, great comment, and look forward to talking to you in the future, sister. All right, got another caller that's there. Let's go to the other caller. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name, where you calling from, and what's your question or comment?
It's good to hear you, my friend.
Brother Davis, how you doing?
I am blessed. It's the season, but I am blessed.
good to hear you, Brother Davis. Good to hear you. Hey, we made it to Dallas for all in, so whenever you and Sister Davis are in the area, please let us know.
Yeah, we're looking forward to that opportunity, believe me.
Yeah. I'm gonna text you. I'm sorry, brother. I'm gonna text you my number and my address. So look out for it today or a little bit later today.
Sounds good, man. Sounds good. I called because I wanted to comment on both videos. And one of the first things I wanted to talk about was the first one. I understand you're listening to the perspective of a true patriot.
Yeah.
Who really came to a realization. And a lot of people fail to realize that, although that may seem like an extinct animal, a lot of them left the service, were forced out of the service because they were patriots. Mm-hmm. The sad part about it is that a lot of people that are within earshot and those who are not have become victimized because of the environment that we have been placed in. Really, when you look at it, there's jobs are less, the payoffs are low, the interest rate is up now, so that means it's going to be more cash that's going to go out than come in. They really set the whole environment up for you to seek to solve the refuge of military.
Yeah, right.
Now, the sad part about it is that many of you will. And you will not grow to understand the importance of that decision until you're on the flip side. You've heard Scotty say it. I've said it. Dave said it. But now you are aware that if you make that decision on the level that you're dealing with, you're no longer dealing with a so-called democracy. So literally, they're going to get thin there. And when they get thin there, they're going to make the environment out here a little rougher. The sister that called reference to debt, when you look up and you see less of those so-called predator loan facilities in your neighborhood, then that lets you know at this stage of the game, they're changing the environment because they don't think they can get any more out of it. So the only thing they'll be looking for then is laborers. And they'll be looking for them on all levels. I also want you to keep in mind this, that literally those people who are carrying heavy debt and they're
I think we lost Brother Davis. Brother Davis, as always, was making some good points. Let me see. Maybe he may come right back. Brother Davis, your phone went out. So when you just come back in, because I'm going to keep your line open. So just come back in. You know, Brother Davis was making a great, great point about the first video is that, and we've talked about this, but like you said, Scotty has, he has, and we've been laying this out here at Tando, that they have to create an economic environment where you will surrender your free will and think that the only thing that you have left to do is to do the military for our young people. And they're distinctively moving that way. And then all of a sudden they came up with, they want to give women opportunities because there's been too much discrimination. Yes, there's been discrimination because there always will be discrimination because that's what the system thrives off of. But it even feasts even more when it gets you to look at discrimination the way that they want you to look at. And the instead of being discriminating against you losing your sovereignty and your self-determination is the one that they don't want you to look at. They want you to look at your written rights instead, the exaction that they can take.
I have a question.
So now, go ahead, Scotty.
I have a question. It's just a thought that I've been having since I've been doing research on the makeup of the military. When I was in the military in the 1990s, late 1880s, early 1990s, I don't know if it was because of my, job skill and whatnot, but, it seemed pretty much like 50-50 in terms of black people. I mean, a lot of people of color and whatnot.
Yeah.
Now, I was never in a combat unit. I was mostly, I was in the largest communication battalion in the Army. But when I first went in, I was attached to aviation maintenance unit. I was their commo because every unit got to have commo. So I was attached to an aviation maintenance unit when I first went in. And, mostly black people, man. I say that unit I was in was predominantly black people. But then, here lately, I've been doing some research, man, and doing research on the makeup of the combat troops, your 11 Bravos and whatnot. And, again, this is based on if the information that I got is correct. But it seems like the majority of combat troops are white males. Okay.
Yep.
And so I'm thinking, man, this is leading to the extinction of white people here in the United States, all these wars. I mean, what are your thoughts on that?
No, Scotty, that's exactly it. And let me tell you this, Scotty, I'm glad you brought that up, because that is exactly what it is. Let me tell you what this is. And one of the things that I've always been conscious of, and I haven't said it here on Tando, but Scotty brought it up, so I'm going to say it here. Our people have to be careful not to become what we've endured. And I'm not saying we don't need to defend. We don't need to. What I'm saying is that we cannot learn to repeat what it is that we had to endure. We cannot become what we've had to endure. Because they switched this around right away, and Scotty, your finger is right on the pulse from what I've been seeing and looking at, is that right now they are going to make it a scarlet letter to be white and Western throughout this world. Because they're going to bring up the yellow man to, this is what happened when empires fall. And Scotty, you're absolutely right from what I've been seeing and what I think from my research and study. There is actually an agenda that is going to encompass the extinction of white people and also the, black people that go along with it will actually go with them. But let me tell you, this is what I think is really going to happen. I think at the appropriate time, the Eurasian nations are going to come back with a offer. Because one of the things is that once the enemy of my enemy is my friend thing is going to play in. There is going to be some real dislocation and some real challenging times here in this country. And there is going to be an offer that is going to be made to our community, the black people, and they're going to use the past as a part of the offer. And my thing is that, yes, it's warranted. But the thing is this, you can never make a deal with the devil and not expect to lose your soul. Because the devil has no alliance to anyone. and they'll change up, and they've already changed. Now it's time to, they're expendable, they're going to expend them.
You know,
but I just want, hope we resonate in a way where we won't be able to take any deal because of we will not, it's so important that we don't become what we've had to endure.
Right, I hear what you're saying, don't become the devil. That's right. What you're saying. Don't become evil like, you know, like them and whatnot. And yep. But what got me looking at that, and I see you got another call, so I'll keep this short. What got me looking at that was there was an article that came out that said for the first time in the United States that the death rate was, for white people was higher than the birth rate. Okay.
Yeah.
And then I was like, okay, but they're not telling you why, though. So why is that? And you look at the perpetual wars, and then when I start looking at the breakdown of, you know, who's who in the military, who's the combat troops, who's getting blown up, who's getting shot up, that's mostly white people, man. And I think that's contributed to it, man. And they keep up with these wars, man. You know, they pretty soon going to be extinct because they're only, they're less than 1% of the global population to begin with.
Yep. And then not only that, Scotty, let's take on the economic downturn and add to that the trauma from that emotionally and psychologically with that. That is going to, they're now, I posted that inside of Tando also, what you were just talking about, that white males are dying at a much faster rate than their counterparts, is what they said. Their counterparts? Who is their counterparts? Talking about black people. Talking about black people. Yes, because the real target, and if you start to look at when they're going to start to bring these trials and start to have a fall guy, have a rightfully so, bring someone to justice, but it's not going to be their justice, it's just that they're done with them, they're done using them. They've already made their deal with the devil. Now the prices for their soul is time to pay. What's going to happen is this. You're going to start to see a Western purge economically, and they're going to start to bring these people to trial. Christine Lagarde of the IMF is up on charges right now. You're going to start to see this Western sweep of all of their proxy people are going to be sacrificed. And this is part and partial with everything that's going on. Spot on, Scotty. I'm glad you said it. And I'm glad you brought it up because it is the truth. And this is where we are. And this is why we can never, ever, think from their standpoint. We have to be independent and self-determining of our own. This is why Black Talk Radio Network is so, so important. And we need to do more, we needed to have a show just on that, Scotty, and to bring it to our people so that they can see. But hey, let's get to this one caller that's there because Sister Isotope, I know she got cut off. Let's get back to it. Welcome, caller, to Tando Radio Show. What's your name? Where you calling from, Sister Isotope? This is you, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Sorry about that, Sister. We lost you during you were
yeah,
making.
Yeah, I accidentally hung up. I was anyway.
That's okay.
What I wanted to finish saying was, actually, I wanted to elaborate a little bit more on what Scott just said about the extension of the white race here in the United States. That is really deep because obviously, I don't want to say this like in an arrogant way, but they think that they're in the in crowd, but they're really not in the in crowd, so to speak. Because of this problem, reaction, solution, plan that's being enacted right now, that they're just really just part, they're just pawns and on the chessboard.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't say that in an arrogant way. I say that in the most humble way because I don't wish, drama or warfare on any race of people on this planet because I'm a peaceful person. But at the same time, I also understand what war is. And if you want to go to war, then we at war, and I'm going to be at war. So,
right.
Yeah, okay. And then then the last thing that I wanted to say was right now, the situation is so blatantly out there that the emperor has no clothes. He's just as naked as he can be. And you're right. This preparedness and this discussion is just so vital. That's why I tune into your radio show and Black Talk Radio Network. I listen to every program because it is just so vital and so very, very important that we implement these things and act on them, because just like you said, what do you always say, Brother Dave? You always say, be part of, whenever you end your show, what do you say, brother?
Oh, end the show, I'm not quite sure. I'm not sure.
You always say, if you want to be a part of the solution, wait, gosh darn. I can't get it now, but I
is it about rules? If you play by their rules, they will rule. Is that it?
No, Brother Dave always ends his show with something. He says, if you're not part of the solution, you're part of the problem. Or no, not that. That's not it.
I always end with, before you ask for a blessing, to make sure to be a blessing.
There you go. That's where I was trying to go with that. Because honestly, how are you going to walk around this planet and spread all this bad news and expect to be blessed at the same time? And it doesn't work like that. Right. So I'm just glad that you're here, Brother Dave. I completely lost my thought on what.
No,
I
you're good.
To say. But thank you.
You're so.
I'm just so glad to hear your voice. Honestly, I forgot what I wanted to say.
No, you're good. You're good. I tell you, it's so you always bring some real good points, and I'm glad that you talked about what you heard Scotty say, because it was so true. You're absolutely right. And the thing about it, there's always going to be, and I've said this before, there are some new, I don't say this word, but you know what I'm saying, there's some new end in this them, and they don't even know. Let me tell you a point to that. This weekend, and Scotty is here. I hope Scotty's listening. This weekend, Scotty, you there? Don't know, Scotty. But
yeah, I'm listening.
Scotty there. This weekend, I went to my first Texas gun show. And my daughter heard a conversation. And this was the conversation, and it pretty much says exactly, I tell you, confirmation comes in so many different ways. Where Scotty brought up. There were two gentlemen. One gentleman, older white, one gentleman said to another one, you know, we were all immigrants too. Our parents came here as immigrants. But we weren't the first ones here. But our people don't like to talk about that. That's the truth we don't like to talk about. That's the truth we don't like to realize. He was basically putting the other guy in his place. And because they talk about this new America, and he says, no, there's nothing new about it. Nothing new about it. It ain't ours. It never has been ours. Because I believe that this person has finally woke up to, oh my God, it's just like going to a casino. You will never beat the house. No matter how many free drinks you've gotten, they've gotten it at your expense because they know that they're taking everything that you have. And they give you these free rooms, they give you free drinks, and they know that you'll come back. You'll come back for free drinks and free room and give up everything that you worked for. And that's exactly what they've done in the point that Scotty has invoked and actually has spoken on, because that's really where we are. And this is cyclical. They'll bring this country up and these so-called people up. It's so funny, and I hope I don't offend anyone, but this is the truth is the truth. When you tell the truth, it's not a matter of you being offensive. It's a matter of you telling the truth. I've met so many people that say that they are whatever their nationality is. There is no such thing as a race of Jamaicans. You're either melanated, colored, or you're not. You're not. I had one dude, just using this as an example. Sister, where are you from?
She said, Omaha, Nebraska. And
no. I was talking to one sister. I said, Sister, where are you from? She said, I'm from Jamaica. I said, oh, well, you're black. She said, no, I'm Jamaican. No, oh. I'm sorry. Jamaican is not a race. Jamaican is not a race. And I'm not saying anything against Jamaican people. I'm just making that point. See, this is the thing. When we play by their rules, the Scottie just was laughing, they want their rules. And this is what we really have to really, really understand and get into. But you know what, everyone? The time is run out. I just want to thank all of
our... Oh, has it? Because I had wonderful... I don't know.
Okay, go ahead. We got like 3 minutes. Go ahead.
Okay. The question I had asked is the pharmaceutical guy got arrested.
Yeah.
Okay. And I just wanted to see how that tied in to what you were talking about with the financial collapse.
Classic. See, there you go. There you go.
That's what's the question.
Picking up on things that you should be picking up on. Good. Remember just before I said they're going to start to indict the Western style of life? This is the precedent that is going to be set economically everywhere. When they brought him, when they arrested him, and see, the thing is this, what he did is nothing new. He just did it at the wrong time. What was the wrong time? He was born at the wrong time for what the system wanted. Now they're going to exploit and use him. What he was doing, people have been doing for years. And they knew he was the perfect person that would go on and actually talk about it when he raised the AIDS drug, generic drug, 6,000%. They knew that he was that type of personality that would go out there and speak it. And this is what they do. They get you, they expose the ills of someone, get you to hate them, and then they bring them to their justice team, and you say the justice has been served when they built that person. They enabled that person. They ensured that that person would be there to wage the AIDS evil that they wage. Just like a lot of the police departments. Don't never ever get allow the police department to get away with a good cop, bad cop. There are some bad apples. No, just to keep. They hire all of the bad apples purposely. And they have the ones that aren't to use this propaganda. It's the system. This whole system. He is not significant in one bit. But what he does do is set precedents for what's coming. Okay, everyone, we're ending the show now. I just want to thank you all. Thank you, Sister Isotosis, for calling. Stay in tune. Keep us abreast as to what's going on in the world, if you would, please. Always enjoy your call, Brother Davis. We missed you because you were making some great points. We will come back tomorrow and catch up. Tomorrow's show is going to be a very important one. What I want to do is I want to introduce you to grief like you never heard it before. From the very people that are living there and what they're under. And this is why you need to prepare. If you'd like to have a precious metals training, definitely reach out to me. We're going to have a special. It's just going to be, you need to pay on payment. We're going to reduce the price because time is very short. You need to know. Just get in contact with me. Give me a call. Text me at 951-790-8330. And much love, much respect. And like we always say, before you ask for a blessing, to make sure to be a blessing, God willing, is not goodbye. As always, I'll see you later. Till tomorrow.
Girl, you are rich. Even with nothing, you know tenderness comes from pain. It's amazing.